So here is the main point that I think Jesus is teaching us. Special power from the Holy Spirit is needed if you're going to be a witness for Christ. Amen? It's preeminent. It comes before everything else. Secondly, the power is perpetual. First, the power is preeminent. Secondly, the power is perpetual. The word used in Luke is like a dynamo. And you know what a dynamo is? It's something that perpetuates itself. You start it, and the more it goes, the faster it goes, and the more power it gets. It is a dynamo. It perpetuates itself.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church Podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Preaching out of Acts chapter 1, Brother Mark delivered his sermon titled, The Christian Job Description. And now, Brother Mark.
We're going to be looking in Acts 1, and we've been following Jesus through the cross, and he made it through the cross, and he rose from the grave last Sunday, right? And he's still alive, and he's still walking among us. And he walked among the disciples for 40 days. And now we are going to see in Acts that the Holy Spirit comes down. And we see the presence of God coming into people. As Jesus ascends into heaven, he sends the Comforter down. And the Comforter enters into the believers. And the believers are empowered. Let's read beginning in Acts 1 and following. Would you stand with me as we read God's Word? To the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day which he was taken up after through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he has chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering to many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they come together, they ask him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put under his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up into a cloud, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, whom also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. Let us pray to God. Father God, we thank you for taking Jesus up into heaven. We thank you that he's seated at your right hand, and we thank you that he makes intercession for every person that calls upon his name. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that you send down to every person that confesses you as Lord. And as the Holy Spirit enters into our heart, Lord, how the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, how he talks to us, how he leads us, how he guides us, how he convicts us, and Lord, most of all, how he empowers us. Lord, apart from you, things are impossible. But Lord, through you and through your Holy Spirit living in us, all things are possible. Lord, may we be attentive. May we be sensitive. May we be open. May we be obedient to the moment-by-moment promptings of your Spirit. in Jesus' name. And everybody said, you may be seated. What a great passage of Scripture. I call it the Christian job description, if you're looking for a title for this message. The Christian job description in Acts 1, 1 through 11. You recall Luke, the physician, who wrote a two-volume work. Now, he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and now he has written Acts. And we see that in the beginning. He talks about, O Theophilus, you've seen the former treaties. He's talking about the Gospel of Luke. You've read the Gospel of Luke, and now I'm writing about in Acts about the things that Jesus said and did and told us to do. And so we get to this verse, Acts 1:8, which is a great verse among believers. And Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You see, the power of the Holy Spirit is preeminent. The power is preeminent. Preeminent means that it comes before, or it's foremost, or it's the best, or it's the most important, or it is the greatest. You see, the power that the Holy Spirit gives you and I as believers is by most foremost. We must have the power of the Spirit before we can go forth, right? Without the power, you and I are helpless. But with the power, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so this power is preeminent. This power is the greatest power that lives in man on earth. And it's the power of God's Spirit. Before you can be a witness for Christ, you must have the power. Before you can go anywhere and do anything for the Lord, you must have the power. In fact, before you can ever become a believer, you must have the power to say yes to Jesus Christ, and that comes by conviction of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit don't convict, then nobody gets saved. You see, it is the work of the Holy Spirit that brings people to the point of salvation. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit that empowers the believer to tell other people about Christ. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that empowers people to go to work for the church. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that lets you stand boldly upon the Word of God and say, I'm not moving to the right, I'm not moving to the left, I'm standing right here. It is preeminent. Lord, send the old-time power, the Pentecostal power, the floodgates of blessing on us throw open wide. Lord, send that old-time power, that Pentecostal power, that sinners be converted and your name glorified. Luke 24, 46 through 4, Jesus said to his disciples, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, that's the Holy Spirit, but tarry in Jerusalem until you are endured with power from on high. So we see in Luke's gospel the same thing that's mentioned in Acts 1:8, right? Amen? Luke mentions it twice. The same things, a little different verbiage, the same message. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit and you will be my witnesses. Luke 24, 48 and 49 says, that they shall be witnesses and they must wait to be clothed with power from on high. Acts 1:8 says that receiving power is what precedes and leads us to be a witness for Christ. Luke 24, 48 and 49 says, you are to be witnesses, but power from on high is crucial, so you must wait for it before you begin your work. And the same is true in Acts 1:8. You must wait for the Holy Spirit before you begin your work for Jesus Christ. So here is the main point that I think Jesus is teaching us. Special power from the Holy Spirit is needed if you're going to be a witness for Christ. Amen? It's preeminent. It comes before everything else. Secondly, the power is perpetual. First, the power is preeminent. Secondly, the power is perpetual. The word used in Luke is like a dynamo. And you know what a dynamo is? It's something that perpetuates itself. You start it, and the more it goes, the faster it goes, and the more power it gets. It is a dynamo. It perpetuates itself. The reason I say power is perpetual, because in both these texts, Jesus is sending them from Jerusalem to the ever-expanding circles of the nations to evangelize. In Luke 24:47, he says, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached to all nations, beginning where? In Jerusalem. In Acts 1:8, he says, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, beginning where? In Jerusalem. Jesus is talking about perpetual efforts to penetrate more and more of Satan's strongholds and unbelief. If you and I are going to penetrate Satan's strongholds, if you and I are going to go release the captives who are held captive by Satan, if you and I are going to bring people to meet Jesus Christ so that they can confess Him as Lord, we're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's perpetual. Thirdly, the power is providential. First, the power was preeminent. Second, the power was perpetual. And thirdly, we see the power is providential. Providential power is power that only comes from a divine source. You see, the power only comes from God as God gives it to every believer who confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. He sends His Holy Spirit to come upon you, to come into your heart, and the Holy Spirit never leaves you. Amen? Whoo, that's good stuff. That's real good stuff. That's a double amen, amen, amen. Woo! The power is providential. It takes the Holy Spirit to bring a person to salvation. It takes the Holy Spirit to convict. It takes the Holy Spirit to enter one's heart upon confession. And they are forever changed, never to be the same again. But it also takes providential Pentecostal power to make a believer into a witness. These disciples were already Christians before they received the power that Jesus was promising here. In fact, they were remarkably living Christians before this special power fell on them at Pentecost and then fell upon them repeatedly through the book of Acts, and they became even more powerful in the name of Christ. What do you picture to the disciples doing in the 10 days between the final farewell of Jesus and the day of Pentecost? Think about them 10 days before they received the power of the Holy Spirit when they thought Jesus was gone and dead. Two things. Luke 24 tells us that they were continually worshiping in the temple. Even though they didn't have the Spirit of God, the power yet, they were worshiping in the temple. And Acts 1, 13 and 14 tells us that they met in an upper room and they were devoted themselves to prayer. So what were they doing? They were having small groups. Long before we ever discovered small groups, the disciples were having small groups in the upper room. And not only were they having small groups, they were having worship services. Long before we ever discovered worship services, the disciples were having worship services because they worshiped the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They knew who Jesus was. Secondly, they had a deep conviction. Because they had seen Jesus and they knew that Jesus was alive, they had a deep conviction that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was who He said He was. And they knew that. And from that time forward, we don't see them turning once they knew, right? They go forward and they die for the cause of Christ. So we see that the power is productive. The power is productive. Why do we need this power? Well, what would it look like if the Holy Spirit come upon this city? What would it look like if the Holy Spirit just come upon every believer in this church house today? What would it look like when we left this place? Would it look different than a normal Sunday? I should say so. I should say, if the Holy Spirit come upon you with the power of Pentecost in this place, that these walls would not hold us back, that this city couldn't hold us back, that we would go out like a dynamo from this place. Amen. Secondly, there was a self-denying courage and boldness. Acts 4:31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they was gathered was shaken, and they was filled with the Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." In 2 Timothy 1:7 and 8 says, "God did not give us a spirit of timidity." Nope. "God didn't give us a fear." Nope. "God didn't give us a shame." Nope. "God give us power." He give us power to testify of who He is. "Do not be ashamed then of testifying about Jesus Christ, but take and share your suffering for the gospel in the power of His name." Where does boldness come from? It comes from the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If you want boldness, you just say, "Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Fill me up to overflowing," and you'll receive a boldness that anywhere you go, you won't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where does courage come from to suffer for Christ? It comes from the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In conclusion, as Phyllis comes and Lori comes, I believe one act places everything in order as far as our witness. Acts 1:8 says that you will be witnesses to me, where? In Jerusalem. Well, you see, Jerusalem is our home. Jerusalem is our house. Jerusalem is our family. Jerusalem is our hometown. If you can't be a witness in Jerusalem, then you can't be a witness in Calhoun. If you can't be a witness in your home, then you can't be a witness in Clinton. You can't be a witness in Mexico. You can't be a witness in Canada. You can't be a witness in Romania. You can't be a witness anywhere else till you're a witness in your house. You see, I don't believe that God will use you to be a witness in your community till you're faithful to be a witness in your home. And I don't believe God will use you to be a witness in another community till you're faithful to be a witness in your home and then faithful to be a witness in your own community. I don't believe that God will use you to be a witness in another state till you're a faithful witness in your home, then a faithful witness in your community, then a faithful witness in your own state. I don't believe that God will use you in another country till you're a faithful witness in your home, you're a faithful witness in your own state, you're a faithful witness in another state, you're a faithful witness in your own country. I don't believe that God will use... Do we need to get that? Do y'all got it? Good. I'm glad we don't have to start that over. To reach this city, to reach this community, to reach this world, the gospel, with the gospel, we must have the courage and the boldness that only comes by allowing the Holy Spirit to completely fill us. And we sang the perfect song. We said, "Holy Spirit, come into this place with your presence and just fill this place with your presence. Fill our hearts with your presence. Fill us to overflowing that we might go out from this place that we might be a witness for you." It's the kind of courage that wells up in your heart when the special power of God falls upon you. That's why martyrs have been able to sing in the flames, "This is no ordinary power. It's the Pentecostal power. Lord, as of old at Pentecost, while didst thy power display with cleansing, purifying flame, descend on us today. For mighty works for thee prepare and strength for every heart. Come take possession of thine own and nevermore depart. Of all self consume, all sin destroy, with earnest zeal endue. Each will it waiting heart to work for thee. O Lord, thy faith renew. Speak, Lord, Before thy throne we wait, thy promise we believe, and will not let thee go until the blessings we receive. Will you hold on to him until he blesses you with his Spirit? Do you want his Spirit that much that you say, God, I'm not letting go until you fill me? Just fill me up. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm waiting. I'm open. Fill me to overflowing. Lord, send that old time power, the Pentecostal power. Let thy floodgates of blessings on us throw open wide, Lord. Send that old time power, that Pentecostal power, that sinners will be converted and your name will be glorified. Let us pray. Father God, we ask that your Spirit fill this place. Not only that your Spirit fill this place, but we ask, Lord, that you would fill our hearts. Fill us to overflowing with your Spirit. Empower us that we might glorify your name in this place, that we might glorify your name in our home or Jerusalem, that we might glorify your name in the next community over in our Judea, that we might glorify your name, Lord, in another country like Samaria. Lord, that we might glorify your name to the ends of the earth. That we might see sinners converted and your name glorified. Lord, just use us, Lord. Place in our hearts your dynamo, your Spirit. And Lord, use us as a bold teller of the message of the good news. Lord, we look forward to how you're going to use us. We anticipate you using us. Lord, we're looking forward to you doing great things through us and through this church. And Lord, we ask that your Spirit not leave us, but continue to fill us because, Lord, we're leaky. And we need filling all the time, Lord. Just keep filling us. And Lord, we're just going to give you praise and glory and lift you up in this place. Lord, today, there may be someone here that's never said yes to you. They've never said that you are Lord of their life. They've never believed that you were the Christ, the one who died for our sins and who God raised from the grave and who is alive today. And Lord, if they would just confess today that you are Lord, that you are the Messiah, and that you are alive, you will save them. You will come into their heart and you will give them the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will never leave them. Lord, I pray today if there's someone here that's never made that decision, that today would be the day that they would step out of that aisle and come forward and just say to you that, Lord, you are Lord of my life. Lord, this morning, there may be someone here that's been empty for a long time. They know you as Lord and Savior. They know that you live in their heart, but they're not full. And Lord, they just want to step out today and they just want to come and say, Lord, just fill me to overflowing. I give you all of me. Lord, so many times we tend to take back parts of ourselves. But Lord, this morning may we just relinquish everything to you. Lord, this morning there may be someone here that's not a member of this church, but they like what's going on in this church and they would like to become a member. Lord, I pray this morning that they would just step out and say, I would like to join up with what they're doing here at Calhoun Baptist and be part of it. Lord, whatever your will is this morning, I pray that you wouldn't let Satan steal away our time. I pray that you wouldn't let Satan steal away the decisions that need to be made for you, Lord. I just pray that we would boldly step out, full of the Spirit, and say yes to you. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. We're going to be singing page 325.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.